You know, I'm sorry. I was trying to get through that without laughing. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. The reason I was laughing is Eric and I were talking about the missing piece of equipment that is directly usually separates us, and it's conspicuously absent because, well, the hazmat crew had to take it out with along with the fire department and the, you know, the CPU burned up. In case you know you're not getting the joke, folks, what happened yesterday was we had a horrific something happened. It was a catastrophic failure of our main CPU unit, which runs all of our cameras. It runs everything, and it's not a cheap date. Okay, I'm just telling you the way it is. Not a cheap date. Fried. So we had some technical people look at it today. And they said, this is interesting. Yeah, we're going to have to do some forensics on this. So, you know, things do happen. So here's the deal. We're going to bring on Stan Deo. We cannot show anything. So we're going to just get your crayons out and a piece of paper. Okay. Or better yet, just go to a computer near you and, Stan will talk about show images. But before we get to Stan, I just want to mention Water by Cindy. Have you gone there? Water by Cindy. You know, our bodies are 75% water. And what you drink is going to be different water-wise than what you use to clean your counters with. It only makes sense, doesn't it? It certainly does. Go to waterbycindy.com. That's waterbycindy.com, folks. And check out all of the information they have there. I'm not going to go through it right now. I'm not going to do it. I ask you to do it. Go to waterbycindy.com right now, or not right now, after the show, and look at that website and prepare to be amazed. Waterbycindy.com. So, having said all of that, Stan Deo, I hope you're feeling well. Thanks for joining us tonight again. It's Tuesday with Stan, the real Indiana Jones. Stan Deo, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds like you've been having a few of those technical problems over there.
Yeah, you could say that.
I didn't have to have hazmat come.
I was joking, of course.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, there's seriously. Okay, there was no fire department, no hazmat. I was joking. Really, what happened was our CPU fried on the main computer, and there was a little bit of it looked like a whiff of smoke, perhaps, and an odd smell, but. Something happened. It was something. I don't know. And we've got computer people looking at it to determine kind of what happened. But I don't think it was operator error. Let's just put it that way.
No. Okay. Yeah, well, wow. So, wow.
Yeah, not a cheap date. You know. It's just that was the thing that ran everything. So Eric was in here like all day. You know, using duct tape and electrical tape and. You know, anyway, that's where we're at.
Oh, I tell you what, we're in the basement for our office, and we've got like half of the windows, you know, show outside, and the rest of just wall down under the ground. We dread the westerly blowing wind, rainstorms, because if it gets through our defenses out there into the window wells, it floods the basement. Mm. But weirdly enough, it floods it more on the other side of the wall to our right here, or to the north, than where we are here with the computers. But if it ever breaches enough to get this really wet down here, we've got cables all over the floor, back behind the desks and up the walls, and stretched across the ceiling and tacked in over to the shipping area and TV. You know, I think I just kind of get a big shovel and bury the place rather than try to repair this.
Man, you know, there's nothing, really, there's nothing worse than a basement office, if you have one that gets water and it floods or whatever, there's always damage. I mean, the damage is, yeah, there's nothing worse than that. So,
yeah. Hey, did you happen to? Well, you could do this without being on air. Use your computer and look at our standeo.com website in the last couple of days.
Yes.
For the news.
Yes. I have.
Did you see those really neat pictures that Holly put up of the their polar stratospheric clouds, very colorful things from pinks to blues, turquoise and that kind of stuff. Did you see those?
No, I didn't. I saw where I should have seen them, but I didn't see them. No.
That's all right. The show images page. I've taken two of those photos that she had up there and put them up on there. But also, I've given links underneath that in the text portion. If you click on that, it takes you to more images of those clouds taken by, you know, the same guy, but a good deal more of them. It's beautiful. Anyway,
you're talking about the northern clouds, the northern lights.
It's kind of like that, but it's not the normal green. It's a rainbow of colors, from kind of golden color all the way to like teal, and it's just beautiful things. I mean, it's a high altitude rainbow, I guess, you know, with bright iridescent colors. And to get these kind of things, the upper atmospheric temperature has got to get to minus 85 degrees C, or colder. Now, what is interesting, I find this interesting anyway, is that these things, these clouds indicate a weakening or a thinning of the ozone layer. At the same time, the temperature is dropping to allow these, these clouds to form the color. Now, it's up where it's not hurting anything, I guess. You know, the ultraviolet that gets through the hole in the ozone layer would be dangerous if you lived up there, kind of right underneath where all this is happening. I've been under an ozone hole, as I've told you before, when I lived in Perth in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it does hurt. I mean, it stings the skin like little bitty needles all over, and it'll even go through like blue jeans and stuff. It's nasty stuff. But anyway, these clouds are of interest to me because they are exceptional. They don't normally happen. And we're supposed to be in like global warming, and you and I have talked about this several times last year, 2016, about the reason that the North Pole was heating up and the South Pole was getting cooler and collecting a lot of ice. I think it was last week we talked about the fact that the over ice pack, you know, at the South Pole, the stuff is not over land there, but over ice, that was thinning, and I put up the graphs to show all that. Now then, what I'm wondering about is Greenland has, put on a ton of extra ice. I think something like 6 gigatons. That's 6 with, you know, times 10 with 9 zeros after it. It's huge. Mm. And I don't know what is causing that. I mean, I guess if the thinning of the ozone layer up there is doing that, you could expect more deep space temperatures to creep through. But that's just not the way it normally works. I was looking at thermoelectrics making these temperature changes, and they're just, it's reversing, it would appear. I'm putting more snow and ice on land, but not in the offshore floating ice things. It may disappear, by next year. But anyway, it's a concern.
That would take a lot of disappearing, given that number, right? I mean, or not?
Yeah, it would.
Wow.
Yeah.
How quickly did that? I'm just curious. How quickly did that form?
Well, it's been dropping out over the last few months here of 2016. I don't know what the actual depositing curve was, but I'll just see if I can find it here. I'll grab up the article here for you.
That's amazing. Ice sheet. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, sorry, it's 8 gigatons, not 6. I mean, 6 to 8 gigatons, what does it matter? But they're showing here on their graph. Okay, here we go. I can look at dates on this. 2017. Okay, it started probably on the stuff in September of 2016, peaked out in October, it looked like, and kind of muddled along the normal average until now. And they're forecasting that it's going to be, this is the Danish Met Bureau, they're forecasting that the ice depositing on Greenland is going to be greater than 2011 to 12, 2015, 16, it's going to be bigger than what we've had in the last 20, again, it's counterintuitive. If you've got warming up there, which was melting the ice in the sea and stuff, and Greenland was losing ice cover, and icebergs were sliding off, that was during the summer of 2016, and then all of a sudden we turn around and do this. I mean, I just, something strange going on with the weather.
Yeah, indeed. Wow.
Yeah.
Looking at the graphs, that's amazing. Wow. Right.
Well, speaking of like weather stuff, on our show image page, image 10, if you want to have a look at it, there's a picture that I took off of, I think it was AccuWeather.
AccuWeather, and, yep.
Yeah, and it's showing a line showing where the jet stream is, you know, the high altitude jet stream in the north, how it's dipping down, and instead of a very kind of shallow, you know, narrow dip down and hitting, you know, the Midwest or the East or whatever, this is hitting the whole United States. It starts up at Washington,
yep,
in the SeaTac area. It dives down through Nevada and through, you know, the four states, you know, Colorado, Utah, and all that, down to Arizona and New Mexico, through Oklahoma, all the way through Georgia, Tennessee, and all that, even up out into the sea beyond Maine. Now, that's dropping a lot of, you know, North Pole cold air down. And Holly was just telling me earlier today she was checking on the forecast for the next week. And, you know, it's looking pretty nasty for the next 4 or 5 days. And I think the worst hit people are going to be over in the eastern states and, you know, down southeast into Florida, stuff like that, from what I saw on the ground. Yeah, from where all of our citrus fruit comes, she's saying it. Yeah.
Nice.
So I don't know how that'll affect the crop, but it's showing it moving through from today and then Wednesday a few hundred miles more to the southeast and finally out to sea. But anyway, there's a link to that on Image 10 on our show images page. So you can go and have a look at this nice cold spell.
And that's a wider, what you're saying is normally, it's a much more narrow, I don't know, picture a U. It would be a narrow U as opposed to this huge U that covers the entirety of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Image 5 here. I put this up, I think I put it up a few weeks back once to show people how they could go to this particular website and adjust the sea level rise or fall, if you wish. To see how it affects the United States, what areas are put underwater if you set the sea rise at so many feet or inches or whatever. And so I just, if you click on that image for the sea level rises there, image 5, you'll see a map I've composited very quickly today showing what I did here for the United States, where the red marks on it are the coastal areas that are right down almost at sea level. And if sea level rises just 3 feet, that those red dots show what areas are going to be underwater. And the reason I'm doing that is because the weather's becoming so strange, and we know that there are some geological changes in the mix here at the moment, geophysical for the whole planet, it shows that San Francisco, San Diego, inland from there near the Salton Sea, those areas there could get flooded from connectors from the Pacific Ocean and the Gulf of California and from the Gulf of Mexico and these areas. Now, I also put in a level of orange, which, you know, you'd have to actually go on the site to really get down to nitty-gritty and seeing what streets would be underwater. And the orange level is 7 feet. Instead of 3 feet, it's 7 feet. What would happen if we had a 7 foot rise in sea level? And then I thought, okay, I know that if we melted all the ice on the planet and, you know, put it into the oceans, that we might get a 212 to 223 foot rise in sea level. But that's not going to happen. Well, I don't think so anyway, unless the sun gets very hot, which the Bible says it will. But even if the sea level only rose 75 feet, which is like maybe one third of what the maximum could be, those I show in yellow, and those tell you if you live in Houston and about that far from the coast all the way down the Texas coast over to Louisiana and up into where Shreveport is in northern Louisiana, will be underwater. Most of Florida will be underwater. So South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, all those, they're going to be inland hundreds of miles where the flooding is going to sink, you know, areas totally. California, well, the Sacramento, San Francisco area is going to suffer, and certainly, as I said, the Salton Sea area inland behind San Diego. So have a look at that, and there's a link, I think, let me just see on the bottom of it here, it's make your own sea level. That's right. And you can get to the actual site where I was doing it. And this website is really quite unique, as far as being able to model what's happening in your area or anybody else's area, for that matter, as far as the sea level rise. And it lets you, like on Google Earth, it lets you take a picture of a guy, you know, that you drop into the picture so you can get a ground view of what you're looking at. Right. And so you can say, okay, this is, at the moment I'm looking at, say, New Orleans area. So I'll put this little character down there, and it gives me pictures of the coast of New Orleans there and fishing boats and stuff. So you can see what the area looks like and how close it is to the water, which is quite spooky when you think about it. But anyway, that's image five today, and the tool is quite useful, especially if you're thinking about a move from one of these areas to a better area, or from some other area and you were thinking about a coastal region. This will tell you what your risks are. Do you want to gamble your assets and moving to these areas, and your life for that matter?
And if I may plug Prudent Places by Holly Dale, folks, it's just not the flooding, although this is pretty neat. Instead of playing Candy Crush, you could flood your own area, or flood the area of your choice. But, Prudent Places USA, that takes in all sorts of factors, and I would highly recommend that. Go to standeo.com. Wow, this is pretty, I'm looking at this and, okay, beachfront property in Utah, maybe, or okay.
Did you see where over on the, this does it for the whole world, not just the United States, but over on the upper left-hand part of that page, it has where you can, the red and orange and yellow colors, it lets you go in there and actually change, how many feet you want to show. Instead of 75 foot, you can go down to, 25 foot sea level rise. And between now and the end of this century, even the scientific community is saying that we could see that. Again, it depends on whether we're going mini ice age or whether we're going to actually heat up as the other planets in the system are doing.
Wow!
But it's just good. I mean, there you can get it with satellite pictures of the Earth. Like the greens and blues and stuff, instead of just like a normal map like that I showed on the show images page. You can get that so that you can zoom down in and see the different states and things like that. And then there's an open street map option, which lets you see down to the street level what is at risk if the water rises up, to whatever height you've set. I just find it really...
That's fascinating. Quite,
it is. Yeah.
Wow. I can, now I can... Now for the next 40 minutes, I'm going to be doing this. No, I'm kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Well. Wow.
Okay.
The... let's see. Earthquakes are interesting. I guess you've heard about that one just hit Fiji.
Yeah. In fact, right before airtime, I got a couple of emails saying, please ask Dan about this and the meaning behind it. I mean, whether this is indicative of... the emails are in my office. But what, if anything, what this does mean? Aside from the obvious.
Yeah. In the last week or two, we've had these flurries, hundreds of them, in the Salton Sea area, going close to the Imperial Range there out of Mexico coming up. That's a very fragile, very sensitive, thin layer of the mantle there, or at least the continent of the North American continent. But there have been a lot of things happening there as far as smaller earthquakes and flurries, and that does concern me, because even though that area is known to be like a tympanic membrane, like it vibrates like a drumhead when you seems to have produced a lot more smaller earthquakes very rapidly than normal, in my opinion. Directly opposite, through if you drew a line from there through Hawaii and then down toward Australia or, say, Fiji, where the big earthquake just occurred a few hours ago, you'll see that that whole area of the southwest ring of fire from Fiji, like from New Zealand, Fiji, up into New Guinea, into the Philippines, that arc there in the last 2 months has been very busy for Richter 7s or better. You know, up to Richter 8. And those are heavy hitters. And this one that just hit Fiji was only 6 miles deep. I mean, you know, that's way up close to the top. Very close. And even though it was there, it didn't apparently hit Fiji too hard as far as, you know, panicking the people. There was a tsunami warning after that. But I guess they get used to living in that. But that side of it is directly opposed to the California, Oregon coastline, and the heavy quakes are occurring there. The minor quakes are occurring directly opposite that in our area, and that's if you go across the equator. But then across from Fiji horizontally over to the west coast of South America, there's a bunch of mid-range, you know, fives and sixes that have occurred over there in just the last week. So what is happening? I mean, I think we're seeing more severe, more powerful earthquakes along the major tectonic plate borders, but we're also seeing it start to reach out in smaller quantities or smaller sizes into, say, like the Mediterranean, up into Italy, and this is just in the last week, and to Mexico, to Central America and that area there. So I'm sensing that something else is happening. Maybe the expansion is starting again of the core of the planet. I'm just not sure, but other people have been jumping on the bandwagon when I talked about expanding Earth, and they've been saying they're seeing signs of a major surge in the volcanoes and earthquakes due to a bump, if you wish, in the diameter of the Earth. I suspect that's what's been causing for several years now the increase in sinkholes by releasing, sideways pressure on the dirt of the various land masses. But anyway, this the earthquake information I'm seeing over the last couple of months and this today does make me think that people better look at what they need to do to prepare to endure loss of utilities and access to food and things if they're in an earthquake-prone region, like you can see if you go to USGS map like this. When it hits, it'll probably be a surprise to most people, and you don't be running to the store to buy food and stuff, you know, like people do before a hurricane warning. You won't have time to do that. Holly's covered that, you know, still covers it on our website. She's covered it in her book, Dare to Prepare, for years, and told people what they need to do. And, you know, I mean, like medicines and foods that you need to get them in advance. She's got all that in print in the book. And then on the website, in the daretoprepare.com website, you can go up there and download all kinds of stuff to help you prepare yourself if you're one of these zones, and it's free. I mean,
yeah, my daughter, Stan, I got to tell you, my daughter Jackie, who's working on with us now, this is, I don't know, probably a week ago, the printer was going crazy, and actually she was downloading and printing stuff from your website about preparations, and
really?
I just, yeah, absolutely, and because we have every edition of Dare to Prepare on one bookshelf in our office.
Really?
We do. And Prophetic Perils all together. It's kind of neat because it's just really neat. But anyway, she was looking through one of the books, and I don't know, one thing led to another, but she was doing this. So yeah, folks, what a marvelous, array of information, from Dare to Prepare, the website and the book especially. So, and the other thing I was thinking too, when an earthquake does take place, you're going to be, wherever you're at, that's where you're going to be for a while, I suspect, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And you won't be able to go out. I mean, you won't want to, because there'll be roving gangs of people trying to loot and stuff. We've seen that on numerous occasions where people just riot just because they disagree with something in politics or local government, and break into stores and walk out with TVs and food and drugs at the drugstore and stuff like that. You want to have everything you need there under your roof, or, you know, clothes that you can grab it without going too far, so that you don't have to tell everybody that you've got food and water and medicine and stuff, and you'll feel a lot better just having
exactly.
it. Just stuff you can lay your hands on, you know. It's not some derivative stock market thing. It's the stuff you'll need to live.
Right on.
And I think we're seeing enough changes that people better get ready, you know.
I agree, and I love your explanation, too, about the expanding Earth. That it really makes sense to me, and your lectures, folks, standeo.com. We're up against the break right now. Go to standeo.com, not only for the show images, but also the news headlines. Bookmark that. I check that every day. I check his website every day. Stan and Holly do a great job. And, of course, as I said, the show images there, the link for tonight. Folks, we're going to be right back. Our guest is Stan Dale, standale.com, the real Indiana Jones. If you don't have Prophetic Perils, you need to get that, as well as the latest edition of Dare to Prepare. Stay right where you're at. Stan Dale, yes, standale.com. That's his website. Dare to Prepare, Holly's book, of course, Cosmic Conspiracy, Stan Dale's book, Prophetic Perils, Holly's book, Prudent Places, USA, Holly's DVD, the lectures on DVD, all that and more at standale.com. I'm so grateful to have him every Tuesday to really talk about what's important. And right before the break, I was just mentioning that, you know, to understand things like what's going on, sinkholes and earthquakes and all that stuff, the expanding Earth, when Stan Dale explained that to me, it made so much sense to me about how the Earth expands. And so I would urge everyone to get lectures as they can, and the books, of course, especially the Dare to Prepare books, because folks, you know, just because Trump's in office, I do believe that we're going to have to prepare. And I really mean that. My heart of hearts, look, I don't think it's going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. So do it now while you still can. And so, Stan, I'm going to turn it back over to you, my brother. Where do you want to go?
Well, mentioning all the books and stuff like that while we're in the break, Holly says, you know, the Hagman listeners, I mean, we get emails from them and phone calls occasionally and stuff, contributing to what we're researching. And some calls and emails are just thanking us for doing what we do. And she says, you know, we ought to give back, start off 2017 with another giveaway on the Hagman Show. So we're going to, we're out of stock until the 17th of January of the Dare to Prepare book. And we're concocting a drawing where we'll have one or two books, or a book and a DVD or a CD-ROM. We're kicking it around, but we'll have a drawing, and we'll put it up on the front of standeo.com, and at that time it'll tell you the date, it'll be a click where you can submit your email for us to put you in the drawing like we've done before, and we'll have a little bit of a New Year's gift to everybody.
Wow, that's great. And that's quite a value, too. The work that's gone into the products, all of them, at standale.com is incredible. There's so much work. And you can tell. I mean, so thank you. That's great.
Okay. Well, as I say, keep watching the website. As soon as we get this firmed up, Holly will have a place up on the front page for you to go and enter by email to us.
Sounds good.
Now, you're talking about Trump and, you know, how he can't solve everything, and that's true, because it's not like he's absolute control, you know, of the country. He has to deal with the Congress, both houses, you know, see that on the show images page. If you go to our number 4 image, view Fox News Islamist compounds in the United States. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, the picture, you can zoom up the picture. It'll just show you the picture of the United States in which states have how many, you know, terrorist Islamic training compounds in the United States. There's 2 in California. There's 3 in New York. 2 in Virginia. 2 in Georgia. South Carolina has 1. Texas has 1. Tennessee 1. And Alaska 1. And they've got 22 of them. I don't know that that was the full 22 count I just told you, but if you do go to the text underneath that picture of image 4 and click on that, it will take you to a video of the news story on Fox and a printout or text underneath it showing, you know, how disturbing these 22 training grounds are on U.S. soil. And they're not exactly ISIS. Say again.
No, yeah, you know what, Stan, I just want to mention this because this is important. Do click on that link. Go to the show images and click on that link. Ryan Morrow worked with us. He's now with the Clarion Project, but he worked with us when, I mean, we're talking back in 04, 05, I guess it was, and just a brilliant young man and very incredible. But he did a lot of, we worked together, and he, the Islamic compounds that you're talking about, the one that we investigated, Stan, I got to tell you, in particular, the Islamberg in Hancock, New York, made it to actually Fox News. Fox News went there after we disclosed what we disclosed and, of course, verified our findings. But shall we say a mess of things happened thereafter. But nonetheless, these do exist. So you're right on the money. I just want to throw that in there because I'm really kind of proud of Ryan Morrow, a brilliant young man who is now working with the Clarion Project. Go ahead, sir.
Well, that is, I do remember you saying that and doing that some time back, and I thought that this would be interesting to you because this is, you know, preparing for what Fox said was the jihad against Trump. He has got so many things stacked up against him. The man needs the support of the Christian community to pray for him and his family and his whole team, you know, that he's setting up. Let's see him get to office. Let's see him get inaugurated. And none of his people being hurt, and let's remove or block these obstacles so that they can't tear a country apart. I mean, we're balanced so precariously on civil war, on nuclear war internationally. You know, if one were to look at Putin and say, what would be the optimum time to strike the United States if he was going to do it? While we're divided, while we're changing the government, right now would be a perfect time to hit us when we're weak. And
absolutely.
So, you know, I do pray every day, Holly and I together, about let us get through the inauguration and let us try to turn America back to God under Trump.
I think that's the important part, is turning America back to God, under God. You know, we can talk all day long about being make America great again, but the only way America is going to be great again, in my view, is if we get back to our Judeo-Christian roots and our belief and our honoring of God and our obedience to God. Otherwise, it's all for naught. That's just my view. But you're right. Yeah.
You know, since Trump started running and has actually been elected, this tweeting and stuff he's done and the somewhat, I think the mainstream press calls it outlandish, you know, statements he makes and gets away with. These things have freed up, you know, the conservative voters in this country, so that when you say Merry Christmas, you don't get a whispered response. You get a Merry Christmas and a smile back, you know, no matter who you're talking to.
That's
I mean, it's freeing us up from a lot of this PC bulldust, you know. It just... it's such a refreshing feeling.
Yes, and I think a lot of that, and I've noticed that too, and I deliberately this season, I deliberately said Merry Christmas to people. People I wouldn't even normally talk to. And I would get a smile or a Merry Christmas back. A couple of people wanted to smack me, I could tell. but nonetheless.
troublemaker. So,
yeah, especially when I poke them. anyway, I think a lot of that is the psychological. But yeah, it's different, isn't it? Man,
it is. Well, you know, we do enjoy the feedback from your listeners and things. I had one come in this week from, well, Roger. Last name starts with a C. I won't put his full name out there, but he's one of your listeners, and he's been following my research for some time and listening to the program here. And he sent me a picture of the Khafre pyramid in Egypt. I guess it's about the second highest one next to Khufu. It's just across the plain there, or on that flat area there in Egypt where they were all built. Anyway, he sent me a picture of it, which, you know, I've got there as image number 6. And he put his comments there in black with arrows pointing to this pyramid and the erosion of it, which is obviously water erosion. And the interesting thing about it is that what his picture is showing is that the pyramids were damaged positively, like the Sphinx, by being underwater and underwater for a time because there are shoreline, like lapping waves patterns on the surface of Khafre here. You can see where it didn't go all the way to the top of this pyramid, but the pyramid is, from the base of it up to the top, is roughly 300 feet. And that's about sitting on a plateau that's about 200 feet above sea level. So we're saying here that water rose up to approximately, say, 495 to 500 feet above sea level when this flood came over Egypt. Now, you know, the texts on the flood, Noah's flood, do not, they're ambiguous as to how many pieces of land were actually put underwater and all over the planet, or just in the land around Saudi Arabia where Atlantis was, where Noah lived as a citizen at the time. And I've been challenged by this, looking into Egyptian records, because I know that they're notoriously, you know, they're liars in their history, and as far as the hieroglyphics and things like that, how long a kingdom lasted and when it started and that kind of stuff. One of the things they say is they would have been destroyed if it were not for the Nile River, which saved them from the great deluge in the area, the great flood. Even Plato's account, which he got from, a relative that went over and talked with the priests at Sais, which is just a little bit north of, probably 15, 20 miles north of the pyramids. And these priests had written on a stela, their whole order had years before, about the flood and how it had destroyed Atlantis and all that kind of stuff, and would have gotten them to, except for the saving by the Nile River. Now, why would the Nile River save them? I got to thinking about it. Well, now, these pyramids and stuff are down at the Nile Delta, down at almost sea level. But the Nile comes from up higher ground, up in Tanzania, in that area. So maybe what happened was the Egyptians saw, you know, the floods coming, and they moved up, you know, to higher ground and noticed that the Nile was funneling a lot of the increased, you know, water height down in toward the Mediterranean. So maybe that's, you know, kind of confirming that the flood took out a lot of people, a lot of land, but it didn't get everybody. Anyway, this is, Roger sent this to say, have a look at this, because this shows you where the water lapped within 50 feet or so of the top of this pyramid. And you can see when you look at it, and it's a high resolution image, you zoom it up, and you'll see what he's talking about, where it, you know, the part closest to the ground up to about, you know, 200 feet or so, the eroded stones are smooth. And then up above that, up to the capstones, or the cap casing is still there, you can see where the waves chewed through underneath and cleaned out the stones, and it didn't make them smooth. It wasn't under that long, but you can see that was the top of the water rise in that area. So anyway, as I say, yeah. I do thank your listeners for contributing stuff like this. It sends me on, you know, data chases for hours and days sometimes, trying to figure out what do we get from this, you know, what do we glean.
We gotta keep you busy, my man. We gotta
yes of course.
and folks, and I would urge anyone with images like this or information that Stan talks about, certainly to send it to Stan. Our listeners are the best listeners, I believe, of any listening audience. So, and they're well informed, and they know, I mean, they know what's important out there. So thank you. And Roger, thank you for that picture, for sending it to Stan. That's great. That's, wow, that's an interesting picture.
On image 14 on the show images page, you see some very colorful lights, orange and red and purple and aquamarine type thing. These are charged neon tubes. Now, when you click on it, you don't get anything but the same picture with some text underneath. And the text is telling you how to get to our website. Should the internet be hacked so that the domain name servers, like if you're going to go to standale.com, it'd come up and say, can't resolve, the servers are all down.
Yes.
But if you replace standale.com with these numbers and periods to the right, that's called an IP address, it'll allow you to get straight to our website in spite of the fact that the domain name servers aren't working. Because what these servers are computer centers storing a lot of information in various nodes all over the world. And when these servers get a request over the internet for a name of a site, a Hagman site or a Standale right. site or whatever, they look up those numbers on the right there, that picture, 104.130.158.175. And if you plug that in to your browser, say HTTP, :// 104.130.158.175, like that, and hit go, it'll take you straight to our website, bypassing all of these servers. I'm telling you that in case a lot of weird things start to happen. I have been noticing it here on my access to certain websites, say over in Australia. It's limiting me now and not allowing me to do certain things or pull down certain videos. There's censorship in the background going on the whole internet worldwide. So one of your listeners, again, emailed us and said, hey, look, would you mind putting these IP numbers up there for us so we can get to you, even for a short time when stuff hits the fan, if it does. Yeah, Holly's had it up on the archived interviews. I knew that, but I just wanted to draw people's attention to it. You can go to our main website, standale.com, and when you get there, you go down to Stan's interviews, the archives there under that little microphone. And when you get to that page, look at the very top of it, you'll see the IP numbers there, too. But I'm drawing it to your attention so that you make a note of it now, because you won't be able to if the DNS servers go down. You'll have to have the numbers written down somewhere. And the same for you. I don't know whether you've done it on your website.
You make a good point. We had talked about this probably 6 months ago and never did it. So we will furnish the IP address for our respective websites, as Standale has done. And I would recommend everyone do that if you're a site owner or a user. Make sure if you own a site, make sure you have the IP address, the numeric IP address handy. And if you're a user, make sure you have the IP address. You can actually write it down if you'd like, or memorialize it, but it'll be on our websites. JD and John, just Eric, remind me. 6 months ago, we didn't do it, and so now we have to. And thank you for pointing that out, because you're right. Stan, the ICANN, what happened with ICANN at the beginning of the year, or last year, is that part of this or not, the name?
I think so. I think it's opened up, access to the Internet by groups that probably don't have our best interest at heart. And it's outside the United States, so it's not subject to U.S. law, so it's going to be interesting. And I've been noticing that accessing certain sites now is taking forever. I mean, we've cleaned our computers, we've done all kinds of stuff, but and I think I mentioned last week that Twitter has banned me for life. Did I tell you that?
For trying to, but I wasn't quite sure. All you tried to do was sign up for Twitter, and you got banned for trying to sign up?
Okay. I don't have a smartphone, so I was going to go on the Internet, which I did actually gosh, 3 years ago, and I saw a site where you can sign up for Twitter online and do it from your desktop computer, which I set up, and I didn't have a smartphone, so I didn't put a phone number in. So I made no tweets or Twitters or nothing. I didn't receive any. And this year, or 2016, I wanted to make a comment on a tweet. So I thought, well, I'll just go up here and open up that account and see if I can fix it so that I can start using it. And that's when they sent me back. You've been banned for life for a lot of tweets and stuff that were bad or whatever. And I'd never sent one in my entire life, and I had to laugh. I mean, being banned from Twitter. Wow. What a bad boy.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah.
Well, can you, now, and folks, I don't know if, I'm sure there are, but can you put, like, instead of Standeo on Twitter, can you put the real Standeo or official Standeo or.
I don't know. I haven't been able to establish the account because they won't let me because I don't have a smartphone number and because I've violated the rules by sending hundreds of bad tweets or something, which I haven't. I mean, I can't. I have no way to do such a thing. If you even look at my account, it says zero thingies, you know. Anyway, but that's part of all this control over the Internet, and the day's coming when they're going to hit you and I and all of us who are trying to keep people aware and show them, you know, there is light in the tunnel through the Lord.
Amen.
You know, they're going to limit us. They're going to hurt it. So, I mean, our shopping carts and all kinds of things that keep us going, these are going to die. I mean, they're not going to be available.
And they're already doing that, Stan. I mean, I've talked to so many people in the independent media who are suffering right now from whether it be from the demonetization process or just putting them down in the lowest of low search results. Or you mentioned something too about sites taking forever to load. There's something about that too. This is an asymmetrical war, I think, that we're fighting, or that in which we've been thrust into. And people, I really don't think people really understand the asymmetry behind the war or of the war and how
it's a one-sided war.
Well, yeah. But the methods to take us down or to shut us up or to, you know, there are many. So anyway, yeah. But how dare we talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How dare we put things in the context of the Bible?
I know. I was reading or watching a video today that Holly had up on the website. One of them, I forget which one it was, but it was on the economy, and one of the local, you know, U.S. gurus of finance was talking or being interviewed about what he sees for the economy this year, and he was very concerned about the U.S. dollar being devalued maybe as much as like 17 times less than it is now, and a new currency being created by the Fed that is digital rather than printed money. And he's even mentioned that he thinks they could probably institute biometric fingerprint IDs like the Japanese are doing for all tourists coming in the country this year, and a chip option like we've read about in the Bible. We are so close to everything coming unhinged. I mean, he was saying that, you know, your cash money, your $100 bills, there have been several issues of the $100 bills over the last couple hundred years, where the $100 bills have been changed so that they're harder to duplicate or to fake. Or counterfeit, that's what I was looking for, yeah. Anyway, he's saying that the $100 bills are going to have to be phased out. 20s and 50s and stuff may be around for a while, but eventually everything is going to digital money on your phone, your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, he addressed that and say, well, you're going to have to deal in cash and use smaller notes to do it and until you get on board with your smartphone or your biometric ID. So this year's going to be a very pivotal year. I just think we're in a historic year.
I'm not sure I'm liking that. I was in a delicatessen the other day, and I saw a sign that, and I didn't quite understand why. Now I do. That said, we don't take old, or we only take the new $100 bills or something like that. It was
really?
Yeah.
Oh, Holy cow.
Yeah, I didn't ask about it. I probably should have, but with what you just said, kind of makes sense. So,
well, I mean, and if you got gold and silver, actually physical possession of it, like in coins or stuff like that, how are you going to negotiate that with someone? You know, are you going to say, here, I'll give you a bar of gold or a gold coin if you'll buy me, you know, 10 loaves of bread on your cart or your smartphone or something? I mean, how do you pay utilities and stuff like that? You'd be carrying a bag or a wheelbarrow full of money.
Well,
if you
can
find it.
Yeah. The only thing, I think the only good that's going to do, and I do believe in gold and silver, it's a preservation of wealth in my view. But
yep,
I think that in the developing black market that will exist, perhaps outside of the that process you described of the smartphones and digital currency, I think that black market, there will be a call for that. But you know, you make some good points. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's not slam dunk. There's there's not a 100% preparedness tip for that. You know, you can prepare for two or three scenarios, and in the end, we might all be faced with strapping on our knapsack and our travois with whatever we can roll down the road and heading for the bush. I don't know.
Oh, you know, Stan, I just thought of this too. We have a gun shop in the area. I'm not sure they'd probably want me to name it, but it's not directly in. I mean, it's a drive from where I'm at. They do take silver and gold for ammo and guns, which I thought was
really
kind of an interest. Yeah. They had a sign there. Anyway.
They're exchanging one precious metal for another one, lead.
There you go. Yeah, brass for lead and brass for silver and gold. Who knows?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Like it.
Well, my brother, we're at the end of the program already. It was a fast hour, but thanks. You did a lot of. There's a lot of information, a lot of ground covered. Wow. Well, I do appreciate that, and we're gonna be looking forward to that. Whatever you put together on a book deal, let us know, and we'll promote it as well.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much, and we would urge everyone to with information pertinent to what Stan and Holly are working on, definitely send it out their way. Stan, I appreciate your time tonight.
Hey, appreciated yours. It's been a very comfortable chat this evening. We are seeing some low temperatures here, about 19 degrees at the moment, and expecting to get a bit of snow in the next few days.
Yeah, so are we. And it's... but you know, hey, chin up. The days are getting longer now, right? So
they say. I've been waiting for it to happen. All right. Good
God
talking to you.
Thank
Lord
you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that was Stan Deo from StanDeo.com. Great friend of the program and a great guy. And, of course, you know, everyone knows Stan Deo. Everyone knows him and Holly Deo as well, and they're just great people, isn't it? They're just fantastic. And you know what? I just want to thank all of the people who have tuned in tonight to listen. As we go through the rest of the week here in the next couple of days, we're working out our technical issues. We have the tin cup. Wait, I don't have anything to put in the tin cup. But in case you feel, I don't know, like you want to help us, maybe with equipment wise. That didn't sound right. There, tin cup in hand. But no, seriously, we are working on our technical difficulties. I think it's Eric's fault, but you can follow Eric, Real Tech Eric, on Twitter. By the way, he was not banned. Now, some of the stuff he puts out is just I don't know. I don't know how he gets those photographs of those not so pleasant photographs of me. Folks, that'll do it for us in this episode. I want to just say again, thank you, each and every one of you. Thank you for your belief and trust in us. Know that the war is on. The war is engaged. Not a time to lay back and sit back on your laurels, rest on your laurels. Nope. What are laurels? Anyway, I want to thank everyone, JD, John, Jackie, Eric, Joe, everybody, making this program possible. saddle for battle. Again, the times are going to get rough. God bless each and every one of you.